Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and I'm here with my guest, Erin Villalobos, who is the program coordinator for Long Live Texans, a program with the Healthy Living and Advocacy Center. How are you, Erin?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I'm very curious about this program, partly because I'm not too aware of it, so I'm really glad that we're able to bring awareness to the community about this program. Let's go ahead and get started. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sure. So I am the program coordinator for this grant of Transforming Texas, Long Live Texans. And I've been working with Catholic Charities for about 4 years now with different grants, and have been there 4 years and really enjoy it and really loving to serve the community, and just really excited with all the programs and just the different types of services that Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi offers to the Corpus Christi Nueces County communities.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing. We like to get to know a little bit more about our guests. So this program, Long Live Texans, is a program with Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi.
Yes.
Okay, good. So we've had many programs about Catholic Charities, and it's always great to work with Linda and Gigi out there. And there are a variety of programs that are there to benefit the community. So let's go ahead and talk about Long Live Texans. What is that?
Yes, well, Long Live Texans is a federal grant that was brought by the CDC. The CDC has this community transformation grant. And basically, this federal grant went to different states in the United States, and Texas was one of the states to get allotted the grant. And from the state, the Texas Department of State Health Services received the grant funding. And then from there, it went down to counties. 30 counties received this Transforming Texas grant. And Nueces County was one of the counties to be selected as one of the 30, along with Galveston County. We're kind of a sister, not a sister county, but a sub-awardee grantee with Galveston, just because of previous work that we've done with them as well. And so Nueces County got this funding, and so we're excited about it. And it really just focuses on three strategic directions. Our three strategic directions are, one, creating tobacco-free communities in our Nueces County. Also, the second one is active living and healthy eating. And then three is going to be chronic disease management. And in those three, we really do try to focus on policy and environmental changes within those three strategic directions. So, for example, some of the things that we're doing in the county with our tobacco initiatives is we have this program, this Quitline program that was made by the American Cancer Society, and also the Department of State Health Services is doing this real push for this Quitline. And as part of our, I guess, responsibilities within the grant is to really provide this technical assistance on the community on how to utilize this to the best of their advantage. So we work with different community organizations, doctors, hospitals, anybody that may have an interest in really trying to get their community help, you know, whether it's clients, maybe they're workers in their business that are trying to get their workers to become more healthy or maybe tobacco-free. We can work with those organizations and those different entities to really try to get them to utilize this Quitline program. So why this Quitline program is so special is that it really brings on a different take on the cessation part. I think it was very innovative. They have two different ways to actually get on and be enrolled in this program. One is through through phones, and the second one is web-based. So they're starting to utilize, I think, the technology part of it, which is great because that really does help with our younger generation.
That's right.
With our younger generation. So our younger generation, if you look at the statistics through our Surgeon General report, we've hit a big toll, especially with the tobacco, with our youth. And so for American Cancer Society and Department of State Health Services, Texas Department of State Health Services, to really focus on that and really utilize the technology, mm-hmm. the phones and the web-based, and utilizing it in that way was really, I think, in my opinion, really creative and really inspires me to really go out there and help the community more. And we've been getting good feedback as well.
Just to clarify, we have this creating tobacco-free communities. So obviously there's an issue that there's a lot of smoking going on and that it's not the healthiest. There's increased cancer rates and it's quite addictive, not to mention the money out of your pocket. I remember when my mom used to smoke many years ago, and the cigarettes were, I don't know, 99 cents a pack or something, very cheap, and now they're three something a pack. I don't know. But I know that it's kind of like gas. The price has gone up.
Yes.
And so the desire then, it seems for all three of them, and we'll talk about the other two, is to create a healthier person.
Yes, correct. Correct. A healthier person, and also with the tobacco part of it, and what we're really trying to do is, you know, we're not really trying to force the issue on somebody or enforce, just creating this opportunity for somebody, and then also creating an environment, a healthier environment for those that probably don't smoke. So they are doing this push on clean indoor air. So everybody has the right to breathe clean indoor air. So again, by actually making that push on, yes, me and you may not be smokers, but you know, if we do are exposed to that secondhand exposure, you know, sometimes we have no choice, we have no right or no voice, you know. So that's another thing with the quit line, is that what we're trying to do as well is create that secondhand exposure and trying to limit that secondhand smoke exposure and trying to provide clean indoor air, you know, for the businesses, you know, because workers and different community organizations who don't have those laws or policies in place yet, at least we can provide that type of education for them, letting them know about the dangers as well. So
for secondhand smoke.
For secondhand smoke as well.
Well, it seems as though the people that would touch base with this quit line should also realize that it's not only a danger towards them that we're concerned about, but we're trying to look at the larger community and their exactly. their family, their households, people that they're around,
exactly,
things like that.
Exactly.
Okay, good. All right. And, you know, this is actually close to my heart because I have two parents that are very heavy smokers. I don't know, maybe one or two packs a day. And my mother recently quit. I also remember going to like a science museum and seeing the difference between healthy red lungs and then unhealthy black tarish lungs. And you could see the big difference physically yes. in a smoker and a non-smoker.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and talk about the Active Healthy Living Center. What is that okay. about? Obviously, it's about living healthy, but what are some of the things the grant covers?
Yes. So the Healthy Living Center itself is really the building that we're in, and that's where we do many of our programs and things like that. But for the active living part of the grant, is we focus on, again, this policy and environmental changes or environmental changes within the community. So basically, again, working with the organizations, the different businesses and entities. For example, right now we're working with our housing authority. So our housing authority, we have community gardens growing in some of our housing living areas. For example, the Claire Lane Garden is one of them that has been established already. And it's really just creating that relationship with them and with the staff and as well as the residents. And then as well as with the community organizations that are outside of the area.
So in other words, you have gardens that grow healthy foods?
Yes, we have gardens that grow healthy foods in these areas that provide a lot of different aspects of why we do it.
So there's education with
it. There's a lot of social reasons as well, getting the community to go and look at a different part of another community that maybe they're unaware of. Going into lower socioeconomic environments where we tend maybe not to go into just because of our judgments or just because we may think or just prejudge, well, they would never buy into this, or, well, you know, they would never really try to do that because, you know, just because of the area. Or it may be dangerous because of the area. So, you know, we're very happy to actually go in and make those strides and actually do those environmental changes.
And building create, those relationships, and building I bet, those are relationships. Wonderful. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
You have a chance to show off your cooking expertise at the Big Cook-Off Showdown in Sinton on Saturday, October the 26th. Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish will hold its fall festival from 11 a.m. till 11 p.m. at the San Patricio County Fairgrounds Events Center. There'll be loads of fun, lots of booths to visit, games, and live music. A 5K run, a silent auction, and yes, a barbecue cook-off. Prize money will be awarded in various categories. Admission is free. To get more information or to sign up for the cook-off, call the parish office, 361-364-2110.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Aaron Villalobos, who is the program coordinator for Long Live Texans, a program of Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi. So we spoke about helping people become tobacco-free, which is a challenge in today's society.
Yes.
But, you know, it's well worth it, and people are quitting.
Yes.
We talked about the Active Living Healthy Program and how there's gardens being built in different neighborhoods. You talked maybe about in lower socioeconomic neighborhoods.
Yes.
And I think that's really exciting. First of all, I don't know how to grow anything. I know how to kill stuff, but I don't know how to grow anything. But I see about these gardens and read about these gardens that grow cucumbers or watermelons or tomatoes. And these are actually the foods that we should eat.
Yes.
So I heard somewhere that we're supposed to shop on the outer lanes of, like, let's say HEB or our food markets, not necessarily all the inner aisles, but the outer lanes where the veggies are, the fruits and the proteins, the meats. At the same time, I also know that people, even like my mom, don't know what a carbohydrate is. And I said, Mom, open your cabinet. Everything in there, all that white stuff, is carbohydrates, and it's a lot of sugar, and it doesn't help your diabetes. So I'm just excited to hear about this garden. The food that's grown, do the residents eat it, or
yes,
how does that work?
It's very interesting. Each garden has its own different way of utilizing the vegetables. But for Claire Lane specifically, they actually are very, very creative. I was very impressed. You know, when I go in there, I don't really tell them that there's a set way of doing this. If you're going to have a garden, you need to do this, and that.
Plant it this way or?
Yeah, or, mm-hmm. you know, how are we going to utilize it as well? You know, mm-hmm. planning and, you know, I want them to take ownership. So the residents and the staff and also the community volunteers that are involved with it came up with this idea on using an after-school center that's near the area, and they invited the children to actually come.
Okay.
So twice a month, the children at this after-school come over, and our community volunteers actually show them how to pick, why they're picking weeds, what's growing, why things look the way they are, because, you
like
know,
weeds.
We're not, yes, you know, and, you know, carrots and things like that. So different vegetables and because they're different, you know, they look a little different when they're in ground. So the children get to learn and they get to experience this gardening and they make it fun for them. And if anything is growing out, what they do is they get a chance to actually sample and eat the vegetables.
Okay.
So, and it's things that are easy to make, easy to do right then and there, right in front of them. And
you clean it up and you taste it.
Clean it up and we taste it. And they're involved. They get to do some of the prepping, you know. They get to have different stations on how to make different, like, little snacks and foods of vegetables. And they're liking it, you know.
Wow.
And so this is an awesome way to get the children and the younger generation experience and food tasting on these healthy foods. Because sometimes, as we know, it's really hard to get kids to sometimes try foods that are unfamiliar to them. So,
well, if we consider all the fast foods that we're so used to,
yes,
in the morning and for lunch and for dinner, and then to go back to organic foods. And it's challenging with kids if it doesn't taste like sugar.
Yes.
It could be a little challenging.
Yes. So we're excited to have this. And at the same time, it does provide physical activity because you're having to walk around, move, bend down. So at the same time, the kids are getting physical activity within their daily lives that they may be lacking at home because video games and our electronic devices, TV. So, and they don't even, you know, they don't even know it. You know, they're just having fun.
Yeah.
So, so it's great. You know, each community has its own way of utilizing their gardens and how they're doing it. And Clear Lane is just, you know, I'm very proud of them on how
Good.
They're really. Really doing it.
Wonderful. Well, as you were speaking, I was thinking of my daughters. I have an 8 and a 6-year-old daughter. And there's this rule that I try to keep, which is not to watch TV during the week. And it's amazing what they'll do with their imagination if not sitting in front of that TV. And I say they're acting like a zombie. they're going to turn into zombies. But and my 6-year-old gets concerned, but she still watches TV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting, their imagination and how they run around and how they play and how they just really utilize their intellect instead of just sitting in front of a screen and getting involved that way. You know, you can do that, but just within certain limits and constraints and things like that.
Exactly.
So then the last thing that you are involved in is the chronic disease management. When we talk about chronic disease, what are we talking about? What kind of diseases?
So chronic disease as a whole, we're talking about diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertension, high cholesterol, cancer, asthma. All of those major chronic diseases that are affecting, you know, our state and our county, and our death tolls too. You know, these are diseases. A lot of people, I think, we tend to forget and realize that these diseases can be prevented. So they're preventable diseases that people are dying from. You know that.
Some of them can be prevented.
Some of them can be prevented. I mean, for the most part, I mean, you do have those that are, you know, genetic. You know, you're genetically, you know, inclined to have a certain chronic disease. But I mean, the majority, it is preventable sometimes. You know,
and it all goes back to physical activity and healthy living and
yes.
your food intake and how well you're taking care of yourself.
Exactly. So all of these three directions that we're working towards all really go hand in hand. In some way, and they all help each other. So, so it's really neat to be working in this line, you know, this field, because there's three different parts, but they all kind of play a big role, and for our county, and you know, it's like you touch one part of it, but you're actually really helping a whole another group too. So, it's really great to see to see all those three kind of come together.
And see people's lives change, I bet.
And see people's lives change.
So with the chronic disease management, do you have like caseworkers or educational programs? What do you all do to bring, is it an awareness program?
Mm-hmm. So right now what our grant is focusing on in this year is really not any kind of direct service per se, but really working on the policies and kind of environmental. So right now we're really looking at our hospital systems and really just trying to collect data on that. I think the CDC is really trying to see what our community is like. So it's really like kind of like a community profile for now.
Okay.
We're getting information on, you know, what type of healthcare our healthcare systems provide. Do they have chronic disease management programs within their own settings?
And then after you determine that, you can see if there's another need you can meet based on the results that you get?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm thinking, you know, that I think that's really up to CDC to really figure out that and the state. But I'm thinking that's what is going to go and happening for the next year's coming. We've had many conversations about that, and I'm glad you see it that way because I'm hoping that's the direction it goes to.
Now you've mentioned CDC mm-hmm. throughout the whole program. So what does it stand for our listeners?
Center for Disease Control.
Yes. Okay, so that's national.
Yes.
And they're able to help us on a local level with funding for programs like this.
Yes, exactly. That big community transformation grant that they have is a national program. So many different states are actually doing the same things that we're doing.
Okay.
So we're a small, we're a big thing, but in a, you know, we're a, in a bigger picture, I guess, you know, we're doing a lot of big things here locally. It's occurring nationally.
Okay.
So a lot of different states, a lot of different counties are really focusing on these three directions as well.
Well,
so.
I'm glad that you put it that way, just bringing people to be tobacco free or to help, to also not only help themselves, but the rest of their family members that they live with, to help them understand what it means to eat healthy. And if they do have those chronic diseases, diabetes is a major issue. It's good to know that there are some active people like yourself that are trying to change the community so that they could live longer. I guess
yes.
That's where the title of Long Live Texans comes from. If people would like more information, where would you send them?
Aaron? Yes, they can contact our local office at 361-442-2224. And that's the main line. And then my extension is actually 15. So if they would like to get more information or like to talk to me personally, they're more than welcome and they can call me on my office phone.
Thank you so much for being with us. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org. Or by U.S. Mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Is there any pain that stays with us longer than that of not being wanted, of being rejected? This rejection may come from our family, our friends or colleagues, or any element of society. It occurs at school, and it occurs at work. Sometimes it even occurs at home. It's hard to be rejected, to be unwanted. In India, there's an ongoing trend among couples to choose having sons over daughters. A major part of the reason for this is the enormous expense of marrying off their daughters. In their caste system, Indian families are expected to provide a dowry to the groom's family. The better the dowry, the more selective the family can be in arranging their daughter's marriage. In this system, wealth offers the only possibility of moving up in the world. For this reason, families often go into great debt to establish elaborate dowries for their daughters. A son, on the other hand, will one day bring home a bride and a dowry as well. For this reason and others, there are many sex-selective abortions in India today. The problem has become so serious that hospitals are now legally barred from revealing the gender of the unborn baby. Even so, many baby girls are treated with such neglect that they do not survive. Those who do are sometimes given the name Nakusa, which means unwanted. Can you imagine naming a child unwanted? Can you imagine the feelings of being that child, of being treated as a worthless burden? Some parts of India today have started conducting ceremonies in which girls are able to officially erase their names. Those who are named Nakusa are allowed to replace that name with one of their own choosing, a name that tells them they are worthy and accepted. Think of a time when perhaps you felt unloved, unwanted, or rejected. Is there any emotion more devastating than this feeling of abandonment, especially by those who are supposed to love you? Consider how many people may suffer from this very emotion in our society today, which does not value all human life. How many of the multiple death shootings that have occurred in recent years could be attributed, at least in part, to the gunman's own feelings of rejection? Jesus knew what this was like. His own people rejected him. One of his closest friends betrayed him. Another denied him. And when he needed them most, almost every one of them turned their back on him. He knew what it was to have those who once showered him with praise to reject him and even shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And once upon the cross, he knew the abandonment of the Father, an abandonment he willingly took upon himself because he knew that we could not endure it ourselves. This he made clear when he told the disciples that where he was going, they could not go. Before his crucifixion, Jesus told us, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first, and further that you will be hated by all because of my name." He prepared us for these feelings of rejection, for those times in which we feel unwanted and unloved. And in the midst of it all, he called upon us to love one another as he has loved us. May you always recognize in the midst of the scorn of the world that you were loved by the author of all love, and that he desires for you sacred moments of love and acceptance, moments of giving love and receiving love. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Aaron Villalobos, Program Coordinator for the Healthy Living and Advocacy Center, a program with Catholic Charities. If you would like more information, please call them at 361-442-2224, extension 15. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.